Everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And that song is our opening song, Connie, that River of Anointing, you know?
You know, I should use that song, the whole thing, one of these times.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Wow.
It just talks about God's anointing, His presence in our lives. And that is what this show is all about. And we are on early for some of you that thought we were on at 4:30. Maybe you're catching us early and realize we started at 4. And that's been going on here for just a few weeks. And we're checking that out to see how we're doing with that. And we're kind of excited about it. 2 hours. It goes pretty quickly, Connie.
It goes fast. Gosh.
It does, doesn't it? With me, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. With me in the studio today is my good buddy and right-hand person who's been here since the beginning, Connie Farmer. And did the hospital let you out today? I mean, that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? She's a respiratory therapist.
I'm on work release.
Work release, yeah. She got away. She's been working an awful lot and extra hours, so you haven't seen her much lately. And I didn't mean she was a patient, but, you know, think whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, boy. We're so glad that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We always have a good time on the show. Mm-hmm. Do you know that my mom has been listening to the show a lot now?
Cool.
I call the ALF where she lives and tell them, hey, it's time to turn it on. And she loves it. She loves hearing our voices. So give her a shout out, Connie.
Hey, Mom.
She knows you.
Yep.
And remember those days, that first year that we started the radio show and you came to my home, you guys from the radio team on Sunday afternoons and had dinner with Dad and Mom. And
yeah, that was the best time.
Wasn't that a great time?
Good food.
Good food. We had fun. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
It's
time
been
for another celebration.
3 years, since we started this show.
Wow.
You were on the very first show and you've been a regular radio team member ever since. But that very first show, we sat in here and we taped it.
Yeah.
We weren't live.
Tuesday afternoon or
something. Yeah, it was a Tuesday afternoon. We weren't live. We didn't know if we could do it live. We had not done that. And even though I'd had a radio program up in Indiana for 5 years, it was a little different dynamics here. And so we did the first one. Taped, and we never have done that again.
Only if we were going to be out of town.
And then we
don't have to do that.
We don't even do that. Yeah. So we have help, and we can do it even if I'm out of town or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was such a cool event to start this radio show. The very first week was, and the first couple weeks were just an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a problem with just having an hour, wasn't there?
Yeah, we still had more to say.
And
it just goes by so fast.
It does go by so fast. And that first few weeks of just being on an hour, we came to the conclusion that we weren't done after just 1 hour. So
it's just not enough.
So then it went to an hour and a half, and now we have
2 hours.
We're at 2
We're just going to take over the whole afternoon.
And somehow, Bill's going,
somehow.
Oh, no, you guys drive me nuts.
Ah.
But, you know, somehow, during that 2 hours, we managed to get done what God wants to get done. And we have such a good time sharing the Word of God, don't we?
Well, there's no reason to be sad and all pruned up.
You
know, I'm suffering for Jesus.
Right. We're not suffering for Jesus.
Nope.
No, we're having a good time, you know. It's fun. And we love our new engineer, Bill. You're a blessing to us. He's really cool. And he's done something that none of the other engineers had ever done, which I think is so cool.
Don't get him in trouble
cool.
now.
I don't think I'm going to get you in trouble, Bill. But he sends me the show that we do, like, that night after mm-hmm. it's done mm-hmm. by email. I mean, cool. Technology is so cool.
Yeah.
And I immediately forward it to our webmaster, mm-hmm. who is in Georgia. So right. it doesn't matter where you live, you right. know. And then she has the show, like today's show will be up on our website by tomorrow or Tuesday at the cool. latest. So people that have had scheduling conflicts cannot listen during the 4 to 6 time. They can catch the show in its entirety just a day or two later.
Or if they want to listen to it again.
Or if they want to listen to it again. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. So isn't that a neat thing that we've got going
cool.
now? So hi to my mom and to all of those wonderful Beacon of Hope friends that we have out
Patricia
there across the
Sam
globe.
Are listening.
Patricia and Sam, shout yep. out to Patricia and Sam.
And she's going to make the cake for our big celebration coming up.
She's going to make the cake. Mm-hmm. We're having cake. Bill, we're having cake 2 weeks from today.
Woo! Wait till you taste this cake.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great cake. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some of our radio team, a lot of our radio team on that show 2 weeks from today. It's going to be fun. We'll talk more about it in a little while. So our website is
www.beaconofhopeministriesies.com.
Whoa, she's just strange today. Somebody really.
Hey, that's, I think I got too much sleep last night.
Too much sleep, yeah, because she does. No. She just.
I wish.
She works so much and usually works nights, and mm-hmm. it's hard for her to coordinate the sleep thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and then when I go to sleep, I snore like a.
You snore like a banshee?
Yeah.
All righty then.
I don't know it.
So does my dog Bailey, but I won't talk about that. He wakes me up in the night with his snoring. Anyway, living the good life. Don't you think that, you mentioned it a minute ago, Connie, we should have a good time. Christians
yes.
should have fun. Christians should not be all.
Why would anybody want to be one of us if they don't see us having a good time?
That's right. Look at him in there having a good time.
You know.
Do you know, but it's so true. For years, people think that being a Christian is just all suffering, all pain, all, you know, and that, you know, nothing good happens. It's just you step in one mess after another. And it's not that way, because we have a great time. And in fact, that's why we named the show Living the Good Life, mm-hmm. because it is good to be in God. It's good to have a relationship with God.
Well, life is for living. It's not
yes.
for being, I don't know, all pruned up and
pruned up.
Pinch face.
I'm going to remember that.
Sourpusses and all that. Grumpy pants.
Well, it's time to have a good time, you know, because, I mean, the fact is, Connie, last week we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. He's a risen
yeah.
Savior, you
Hello.
Know. He's not in the tomb. You know, he's not some false god like a piece of stone or a tree or something that cannot help you. He is the living God, which we're going to talk about in a minute. This first song, tell them about the group For Him and tell them what this song is.
This is an older song. Gosh, probably back in the 90s.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
I don't know
ago.
If they've been together. Yeah, it's almost 20, it's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're really still together. But this song just says it all, Where There's Faith.
Where There's Faith. Let's listen. I'm glad you're with us.
Steve. begin to fall and our stability grows weak. But Jesus meets our needs.
Faith. Connie, I love that. We got to use that more. That is a great song, Where There Is Faith. All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are based in Clearwater, Florida, but we are around the globe. We want to hear from any of you today. Connie, we got the email up, right?
Yep.
And how do they reach us?
Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
All right. They can send an email. Hopefully it would be encouraging. And but if not,
if it's not,
okay.
We won't read it.
A question. That's right. Questions,
not out loud,
comments.
At least.
That's right. And Bill just got the camera situated, so you should be able to see us better. If you are listening on the radio, you can actually go to www.tantalk1340.com. Yes, she's like this all the time.
Now you know why I don't come to the studio
very often. Right. She just gets crazy. Tantalk1340.com and push the listen button, and you'll be able to see us here in the studio. Me with my Indiana t-shirt.
Oh, I was going to put on my Jesus t-shirt.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, but we both do have Croc sandals on today. So
the official footwear
for Living the Good Life. Okay, we got it. All right, go with us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at verse about 15 in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm reading from the Message Bible because I do that, and because we teach out of that. And Connie will probably substitute here in here with some NIV, but listen to what Paul says to Timothy. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Can you read 15 to 17 in the NIV? Because it's probably more familiar to people in our listening audience than the Message translation.
I think I should need to start at 14.
All right,
15
start at 14.
Starts with a comma before it.
Okay.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known in the Holy Scriptures,
yes,
which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching,
amen,
rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. What that is saying is God's word does a work in us. Amen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does. God's word is alive. It is saying here there's nothing like the written word of God because it shows you your path. You know, it gives you direction. Connie, since you started with us at Beacon of Hope many years ago, you have always heard this from the pulpit, from me, from our teaching, that it's all about the word, is it not?
That's the only thing it's about.
It's the only thing. And we all have had backgrounds where maybe we went to church and you didn't hear the word talked about even that much or read, you know. Mm-hmm. We're all about the word at Beacon of Hope. Mm-hmm. And so let that those scriptures sink down into you, because it's the word that's going to change you. Now go with me back to Luke chapter 24. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Some people mm-hmm. call it Easter Sunday. We call it Resurrection Day. And it was a wild day at Beacon of Hope. We had a mm-hmm. great time. And we were celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is a risen Lord. He did not stay in the tomb. The tomb could not keep him. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Amen. The tomb could not keep him. And he came out of that tomb a risen Lord. Now, there was about 40 days between when he came out of the tomb a risen Lord and when he went back up into heaven and ascended in Acts chapter 1. During those 40 days, Jesus did some cool things, Con. I mean, I love the fact that Jesus did not just, go straight to heaven. He had some things he wanted to do. He had some things finish. He wanted to talk about. He wanted to finish, yes, some work he wanted to do in his disciples. And so in Luke 24, we actually taught this. I taught it last Wednesday night at our Bible study. But I want to go down to a part of Luke 24 where we see that on the same day of the resurrection, which is verse 13, two of the disciples were taking a walk. They were going on a journey, and it was actually 7 miles on this journey from where they were, from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. Some of you have heard this story, the road to Emmaus. And what was going on is that these two disciples were talking about all the events that had happened, the crucifixion and how Jesus suffered, all of their hopes had been dashed when Jesus went to that cross, because they expected him to conquer Rome and be the king of Israel. And of course, we all know he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they were expecting him to be like a president of a country. They expected him to be a political leader. And so they were really confused. Now, this is Sunday, and it's Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning, we know Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. Early, early on, he came out of the tomb. Now, these two are walking along, and they're so confused about everything that's happened, and they're discouraged, and they're disappointed, and they're feeling anxiety and fear and wondering what's going to happen next. And all of a sudden, a stranger comes along and starts walking with them. I love this. I love this because you know who this was? This was Jesus. Jesus starts coming along and he just joins them and he just is walking and he's talking and he says to them in verse 19 of Luke 24, what happened? What are you guys all sad about? Now, Jesus had disguised himself. I love this. You know, he was incognito. You know, he wasn't letting them see who he really was right then. He was just simply some stranger. They didn't realize who he was. And because he wanted to accomplish something here, he wanted to hear what they were feeling. And this is a huge point right here, Connie, that God does want to hear what we're feeling. When mm-hmm. we're disappointed, when we're hurt, when we're anxious, when we're, you know, when we're discouraged, God wants us to be able to tell him what we're going through, you know? Don't you think this is huge for a lot of people? They don't feel that God wants to listen.
Well, they don't think that their little stuff matters.
Yes.
To such a big God of the universe.
Exactly. We hear people all the time in ministry say, well, God doesn't care about that, you know, but he does.
Yeah, or some preachers preach, you know, don't bother God with the little things.
Yeah.
You can handle those.
Right. And but God wants us to go to him and give it all to him all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, like I was praying today to make sure I got here on time.
And you did a good job. Yeah. You got here on time. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's the little things.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Every little thing that bothers you, anything that takes your mind off of what you're supposed to be doing
right.
for the kingdom
right.
is big business for God.
Exactly.
So if he can help get things straightened out, he'll do it.
Exactly.
All you got to do is ask.
And I think that's so cool about this story, because Jesus intentionally disguised himself so he could hear their inner thoughts, mm-hmm. so he could hear what they were talking about and how discouraged they were and confused they were. And he didn't beat them down or berate them. That's so cool about our God, you know? Jesus didn't say, you guys are really crazy here. You're wrong. Let me put you in your place. That's not the God we serve.
But also, Jesus at some point during his ministry felt all those same feelings.
Yes, he did.
So that he could identify with
mm-hmm.
us. Because what if he was just walking there with them and listening to what they were saying
right.
that they felt, but he had no idea what if he didn't really know what
yes.
it felt like? He couldn't really
it's huge.
Help us.
That's a huge point because God said, God the Father said, I'm sending you, Jesus, down to earth. I want you to be fully human. I want you to experience the pain and experience all these emotions. And Wednesday night at Bible study, we talked about these emotions that the disciples felt. So interestingly here, and they went into this big detailed story about all of what was going on. Okay, and everything that had happened. Now, I'm in verse 25 of Luke 24. He said to them, so thick-headed and so slow-hearted. What does verse 25 say in your NIV?
He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Aha. Now, he still is in disguise. And he begins to tell them that, hey, wait a minute. You should have known that everything's going to be okay, that Jesus is going to be is alive. He said you should have known because the prophets have been saying it since the very beginning, since Moses. Okay? So what Jesus does here, and I love this, again, it shows that he takes the time to teach us, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you,
patience,
but I love the fact
patience,
yes. He just takes us right where we are. Mm-hmm. He doesn't berate these guys. He says, you know what? Let me tell you what the Word says. Now, that's why we started with 2 Timothy chapter 3 a few minutes ago about the power of the Word, that the Word is alive and changes us. And Jesus says, let me tell you what the Word says. He says, beginning with Moses and all through the prophets, this, everything that's just happened, you were already told it was going to happen. He said, It was already presented to you. So I'm reading in verse 25. He said to them, so thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? That the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory? And then I love the next line because it says in the Message Bible, then he started at the beginning. With the books of Moses. Now, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. So Jesus started at the very beginning with the books of Moses, and he went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to himself. How interesting. You know, this 7 miles they walked, okay, and we were trying to figure out the other night at Bible study how long that would have taken them. And we concluded it was probably 2 to 4 hours, someplace in there. Depends on how slow they walked or how fast they walked. But they had time. Yeah. They had time, and they were just walking along. And he explained to them the whole thing, how it all fit together. Connie, what?
Plus, they probably had to stop, you know, while he was
yeah.
making his points.
And say, oh, really? That's what that meant?
Mm-hmm.
So you know it probably was a few hours, mm-hmm. this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the ultimate teacher, you know, I love to teach the Word, but I'm sure I don't love it as much as he loved it because it was all about him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says he described everything, all the prophecies from Genesis on that told, here's what's going to happen. And he said, wait a minute, didn't you believe any of that? What's going on here? Now, I love verse 28 through 31. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. And he acted like he was going to go on. Go on, read the start there. He acted like he was going to go on by.
But they pressed him, stay and have supper with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nearly evening, the day is done. So he went in with them. And here's what happened. He sat down at the table with them, taking the bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared.
And he's gone. Isn't this cool?
Mm-hmm.
He takes the time to walk all this way. This is part of the appearances that happened during the 40 days between the resurrection and when he went up into heaven, that 40-day period of time. This is the first account. It was the actual afternoon of the resurrection. So they take him into this house, and they sit down to break bread. Now, it's so interesting to me that that's when they recognized him, because the Last Supper was the last time
they had seen him.
They had broken bread with
mm-hmm.
him, except for on the cross. That mm-hmm. was it. And when he began to break the bread and he prayed over it, at that moment, their eyes were open. You know, he is the bread of life. And when we begin to take him into us, the bread of life, and we begin to get the word on the inside of us, our eyes are open and we see Jesus in a way we've never seen him before. And I love verse 32. Read verse 32 for us, Connie.
Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?
Wow. Now they're saying, wow, wasn't that wild? I mean, we felt on fire as we're walking along and he's explaining everything to us. And then they didn't waste a minute. It says they were up on their way to Jerusalem. They didn't even stay all night in Emmaus. They go, wow, we got to tell somebody. They didn't. They couldn't text. They couldn't email. You know, they didn't have phones. What could they do? They had to run back to Jerusalem 7 miles. And when they got there, they said, it's really happened. The master has been raised up. Simon saw him. Woo, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty exciting. And then let's go on to this next little part, and then we're going to talk about this, Connie. Then the two went over everything that had happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. And verse 36, while they were saying all this, Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be with you. He comes right through the locked doors because the disciples were so afraid. They were scared after this crucifixion that it says in different accounts that they every time they go in and have a prayer meeting or whatever, they lock all the doors, you know. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knew that, you know, hey, they've locked the doors. It doesn't matter. I can go right through the door. And he did. He went right through those doors and right through the walls. And during the 40 days between his resurrection and when he went up to heaven, he appeared like this many times, and it says that he was always saying, peace be to you, peace be to you. And what does he say to us today?
Peace.
Peace. Peace. So now let's go over to Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to, we just kind of bridge the gap here. In Acts chapter 1, we see that now Jesus has been walking around among them for 40 days. He's been coming through walls. He's been coming through doors. He's been speaking to him. And he always is saying, in the book of John, you see, every time he appeared, he said, peace be to you, which is very interesting. And some of our Catholic brothers and sisters Wednesday night at Bible study were saying, that's something that they always say in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church, peace be to you and unto you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and then they also exchange the peace.
Right, right.
Catholics and Episcopal.
Right, the peace. And mm-hmm. and this is so fitting because this is what Jesus said to them, peace be to mm-hmm. you. And what is it we need when we're all human like we are, right? You know, we need that peace. Now, in the book of Acts, we find that the same writer that wrote Luke wrote the book of Acts, and that is Luke. And he was a physician. He was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And yet, God chose Luke to be the one to write the book of Acts, which is just an incredible book, which we start right now with our series on the book of Acts. And so Luke goes on in chapter 1, verse 1, and he's writing it to this friend of his, Theophilus. And he says, you know how I wrote the first book? Meaning his book, the Gospel, Luke. He said, well, I got to go on because there's so much more to tell you. Because it didn't end with Jesus being raised from the dead. It didn't end with the crucifixion. It didn't end with any of that. It's still going on. And it's incredible what's happening, Theophilus. And he starts telling him, again, right here it says, for a period of 40 days. Let's see. Do you see where I am right here? Why don't you just start at 1 and go down through verse 5? Why don't you just do that? Read it in the message. That's fine. 1 through okay. 5.
Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, and was taken up into heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days.
40 days.
In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon.
Wow. He said, okay, here's what you got to do. You can't go anywhere. Don't go out and do whatever. During these 40 days, Jesus was saying to them, I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God. It says specifically what Jesus was talking about. Now, Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Those of you out there, if you have a notebook, write down that verse. You need to look it up. Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I find that very interesting. That's what Jesus was spending these 40 days talking about, the kingdom of God. Now, righteousness means right standing with God. Okay, so now, even though we have Peter who had denied Jesus three times, and we have all the humanness of the disciples that were so afraid that they were locking themselves in rooms, and they were not boldly talking about the miracle of the resurrection, during the 40 days, I think Jesus spent a lot of time teaching them, because it says he did, and teaching them about righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, we know every time he came to visit them, he gave them the same greeting, peace be to you. Okay? Yeah, the peace sign. Right. And what was it all about? It says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? And yes, we have a great time on Living the Good Life here because we just have fun because we know it's all about
it's
joy.
It's happy.
It is. What makes you so happy, Connie?
It's a peace deep down in that you can't describe, and it's just, I think that when you get to the point where you don't carry everything that you give it to, when you give it to God, you're just lighter.
Absolutely.
And you can enjoy, I mean, life, like I said earlier, life is to live.
Right.
He meant for us to live life and to the fullest and not be all bogged down with worry and fretting and all that.
And don't you think these two guys, the disciples, two of the disciples, one of them's name was Cleopas. We're not sure of the other one's name because they were part of the 70, that bigger group of disciples. Mm-hmm. Okay. But don't you think that as they walked along, it said they were depressed. They were just, you know, discouraged. Like, what has happened? What happened to Jesus? And now they're telling us that he's raised. Is he really raised or did somebody steal his body? You know, they were totally, you know.
Well, you know, like Jesus pointed out to them before he revealed himself, he, you know, all this had been prophesied.
Yes.
And if they had faith and believed, they wouldn't have felt that way.
Exactly.
Probably. Even though I can't imagine living through those days.
Yes.
Of seeing him die on the cross and all that. I mean, and then his body to be missing. But once, you know, once all that happened and he rose, then you would think that it would jog their memory.
You would think that they would.
Oh yeah, that's right. He said. You know, and as even though they may be sad and doing all this thinking, but why didn't they think about the fact that he told them everything? He told them everything that was going to happen.
He had already told them, and told them during the 3 years they walked together and ate together, and you know, I honestly think they're showing their humanness here, which is it's kind of encouraging to us that. You know, God does see our humanness and say, it's okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let me tell you one more time. You know, like I was a high school teacher in my past life here a long time ago. And I remember having, you know, to make a point, you know, make that point. And people, they wouldn't get it. And it's the same scripturally, teaching the word.
Right.
It's just like people forget and they go, oh, what? Oh, that? Yeah, let me think, you know. Mm-hmm. Teachers, whether they be school teachers or teachers of the word, have to become patient with people who listen. Because a lot of times, a mind wanders off of here. Or, you know, this happened. Yeah, you know, you're just like, over there, you know, people are, you know, writing notes or whatever the case may be. And they forget the point, you know, that's being made. And I know that as a teacher, that you have to take it with a grain of salt. And realize it's okay. You know?
And people learn. Some people learn visually. Some people learn hearing. Some people learn a combination. Some have to see it.
Right.
Written. Some have to. You know, it's just different.
And perhaps these disciples weren't real versed in the actual word. You know, I don't know.
Well, not all of them were very well educated either, so they may not have been able to read that well.
That's right. Who knows? But here we have the humanness. The humanness, you know? It's just so interesting, the humanness. And yet, Jesus says, that's okay. Let me tell you all about it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't berate them, like we mentioned. He just goes forth patiently and tells them. Mm-hmm. And this is it, you know? And
don't you think he kind of liked popping in and out?
Oh, I think he loved it.
you know, when I look at when we watched The Passion that time,
yes, we all went to see that.
I mean, I would never go see that again.
No, it's too hard to watch him.
When he was a child or as a teenager, and the way he was joking with with Mary, mm-hmm. and you know, teasing her, and I just think that he was just a really lighthearted. You know,
absolutely,
fun.
Absolutely. You know, he gave us laughter. Laughter's
maybe
a tool.
A little prankster. You know?
Oh yeah. What does medical science say, nurse, about the fact that you know the more you laugh, the more cheerful you are, the better your health
is. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, he created laughter. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's one of those emotions. You know, I think he loved to surprise them. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be sitting around eating, and maybe one of them was being kind of negative, and bam, there he was. You know.
Just walk in, walk out.
Hey, peace to you. But he always had a goal during those 40 days, and that was to teach them about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So back to that, righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay? Righteousness is really important, Connie, because I think a lot of people don't realize they're in right standing with God, or they can be in right standing with God. Maybe they don't feel that God loves them, that God cares about them. Maybe they feel like they've done way too much in their life for God to really love them and accept them where they are. And that's one of the basis of our ministry at Beacon of Hope. We want people to understand God loves you, he accepts you, and he forgives you, you know?
Well, you can't be too good.
Right.
How should I say this? It doesn't matter how good you are.
Right.
You still have to have the belief.
Yes.
And accept the fact that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
And that he died for our sins. It doesn't matter how good you are.
That's right.
Am I saying it right?
No, you said it exactly right. Because haven't you ever heard people say, oh, he was a good person?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did he know Jesus as his Savior, you know?
Well, and I was trying to contrast that with people who think that they've done so many things wrong.
Right.
Or bad.
Right.
And you know, it just doesn't matter. What matters is whosoever believes.
Believes.
Whosoever.
What faith? It's all about faith. You know, that's what, as we start this book of Acts, okay, and we remember these two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus appeared to them, their eyes were open, okay? Suddenly they realized, oh my, this is Jesus. I think it's really cool that they didn't just wait a couple weeks to tell, oh, by the way, you know, one day we were walking and there he was. They got on their horse. They didn't have a horse. They ran. They physically ran back to Jerusalem 7 miles at night to tell this story and to say, guess what? He came and he ate with us and it's all true.
Well, I think that they probably were feeling the same thing that the rest of them were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they cared about their peers, their fellow disciples, and went right back to them to tell them what they saw, just like Mary did.
And absolutely, just like Mary Magdalene, when she was the first to really understand and recognize the risen Lord, the very first one. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. And, you know, we were talking about that last week, and not only did he appear to a woman, but a woman that had a very bad past, you know, but it was forgiven, you know, forgiven. Mm-hmm. And Jesus appears to her. Amazing that Mary Magdalene didn't just keep that news to herself, did she?
No.
She went and she told. And we're going to talk more about that, what faith can do. And then Pastor Deb's going to join us from Texas. What faith can do by Cutlass. Listen to this song. You're going to love it.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver.
What faith can do. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, a global ministry around the world on this radio station every Sunday live from 4 to 6 Tampa time. And we are so glad you've joined us. You have time because we're on for another hour and 15 minutes to invite a friend to tune in. I love that song, Connie. You will find your way if you keep believing. Mm-hmm. See miracles. That's what faith can do.
That there's a one line in there that says impossible is not a word.
Yeah.
It's just a reason for someone not to try.
Oh, that's good.
That song is just crazy.
Isn't it?
It's so cool.
Oh, it's so cool. Pastor Deb, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, woo! Texas. Hello, Texas.
Hello, I know, Tampa.
Yeah. I know that, you know, you put that little sticker on my refrigerator that says don't mess with Texas, but I don't know about Tampa here.
Don't mess with Texas.
I mean, we love Tampa Bay, too. Deb, we have been talking about the road to Emmaus. Have you listened in? Have you heard us?
I have been listening.
Good. You can also see that we're a little crazy and wound up today, as usual, and having a good time. And we were just talking about, and we invite our listeners to send emails. Connie's got it right here in front of her. And you can send a comment, a question. You can just, you know, just say, hey, how are you guys?
Stop being so goofy.
Yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we just got an email from Barack Obama, so that's pretty good.
Says he's been there.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's about.
So, you know what?
I got one from Joe Biden a little bit earlier.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess they send out stuff regularly. But anyway, Deb, this whole thing about faith, you know, and we're starting the book of Acts and the importance of reaching out and believing God for miracles in our everyday lives. I don't know about you, Deb, but I need miracles on a daily basis. Do you, Connie?
Oh, don't we all?
Oh, yes, we do.
But they happen. Sometimes we don't recognize them as being miracles.
Right. Sometimes we don't have our miracle eyes on.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it is.
Deb,
well, I think everything, every day that we wake up,
yes,
is a miracle.
Yes.
Every day that we're able to swing our legs and out of bed and stand,
right,
up is a miracle.
Right. Every day above ground's a good day.
You know? Having, in the way the economy is now,
right,
having,
yeah,
a roof over your head and food on your table and a job,
right,
is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of that's a good point, Deb. I think a lot of times we don't value the little things like we should. And maybe the economic collapse of the last couple years in our nation has helped people kind of get back to the basics in their life, you know.
I almost used that song today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Back to the basics?
Mm-hmm. Basics of life.
The basics of life, because it is all about faith. And Deb, I don't know about you, but I know that if I didn't have God in my life, it would seem like life was just like, oh, I got to get to work, I got to earn a living, I got to go to the grocery, I got, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know, I mean, just let's talk about the importance of faith here when it comes to believing God for answers to prayer. And Deb, you and Alice are doing such a great job on the prayer team and getting all those prayer requests out and all the praise reports that are coming in. Like, I mean, I had a hard time getting the service started this morning. There were so many praise reports around the room, which was really cool.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's because God is answering prayer, and it depends on faith. He wants us to exercise our faith, like he was doing with the disciples when all of this took place in the book of Acts.
Well, you know, y'all were talking earlier, and one of the things that you said earlier was you were talking about, you know, depending on God for things to happen in your life.
Right.
And you were talking about, you know, the small things versus the big things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And while you were talking about that, you know, God just gave me this word, and it was, you know, how can we depend on God for the big things if, you know, God doesn't care about the small things?
Right.
You know, y'all were talking about God caring about the little things. And,
yes.
And, you know, Connie, I hadn't even thought about it until you said it, but there are ministers that preach,
mm-hmm,
oh, don't bother God with the little things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how can you have faith that God is going to, you know, if you're down to your last penny in your checking account and, you know, you got to pay that electric bill before it's going to be turned off, or, you know, you need gas to get to work, or you need food on your table. That's a big thing. You know?
It's huge.
How can you depend on God? How can you have faith in God to say, God, I know you're going to take care of this for me? How can you have faith in that? How can you depend on that if God doesn't care about, like you said, Connie, getting me here on time?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure that I have, you know, a clear path in traffic.
Right.
That, you know, that I hit all the traffic lights the right way. You know, that's not karma. That's not just happenstance.
He covered the, yeah, eyes of the police officers, too.
Yeah. Knowing how you drive, Connie, probably so.
He did.
But, Deb, that's a huge point about, yeah, God really. And he cared about these emotions of the disciples, mm-hmm, after the crucifixion and the resurrection. He was, like, intimately involved with them. He knew he had to stick around for another 40 days to make sure they understood everything perfectly well this time.
Well, yeah. You know, you talk about, you know, this conversation that he had with them, you know,
yeah,
on the road. He made it real clear that, you know, okay, yeah, we saw this happen, but we still don't get it.
Right.
And that's a lot to digest.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And that does show that he cared about the small things, because he did come back and spend, you know, that 40 days with them and continued to teach them so that they got it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Connie.
Well, he needed to make sure they got it because they were going to be the ones teaching it.
That's it. Yeah. You know,
and
he does that with us, and he takes time to teach us these lessons. Don't you think he teaches us these lessons of patience, of getting through the difficult times. And this whole concept we're talking right about now is just giving our concerns, our burdens, our stresses, all the things that are driving us crazy, giving them to God and not trying to hang on to them. You know, that's the whole problem right now. We hang on to them, and stress. Oh, let's ask you, nurse, what does stress do?
Not good things.
Not good things to us, does it?
Mm-mm.
And yeah,
blood
that,
pressure,
and,
all kinds
right.
of stuff.
And that's a lot of the problem that a lot of us face is that we don't give these things to God. We mm-hmm. really, our faith level is so low. And that's one thing I want to talk to the two of you about and to our listening audience. So feel free to send in your questions.
Well, and it's not a bad thing to have. I mean, you know, to once you recognize that your faith is low, then you just need to do things to build it up. It's not something to berate you on the fact that you may not have as much faith as
right.
other people.
Absolutely. You got to do something to build it up. Deb, what happens when you realize that you've gone way too long on your oil and you need an oil change and probably you're low on
oil? An oil change.
What, I don't know. You might ought, I know she's not on the line with us, but you might ought to be asking Alice about that. She knows what it's like to seize up an engine when you forget to put oil in it.
You know what? It happened to me years back, way years ago.
Won't happen again.
No. And when that happens and, you know, it ruins your engine, basically, mm. without the oil. Correct, Deb?
That's very correct.
And so often we do this with our spiritual lives. We quit putting the oil of the anointing within us. We quit putting the word within us. And we think that we've got enough in us. We'll just be okay. We had an oil change maybe 50,000 miles ago. We'll be all right, you know?
Then something happens and we seize up.
And we seize up. That's a good point. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, I was good just point. Thinking about, you know, we have to have faith in everything that we do
right.
in order to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have faith that everything we learned, you know, in high school, everything we learned in college, for those of us that went, you know, that everything that we were taught is going to, you know, help us succeed in what we do for a living.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we don't take that lightly. You know, and by the same turn, you cannot take what the word that God gave us and the message that you know Jesus brought us, we can't take that lightly, and we have to believe that what this book says is the truth.
Exactly.
But I think the bigger part of that is that, you know, we all have to, you know, get the mind of Christ.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I can't tell you exactly where it is in the Bible, but you know, at some point, Jesus talked about, you know, the difference between you know, religion and faith. He likened it to, you know, you can get the mind of religion like the Pharisees. You
right.
can watch what the Pharisees did. You can mimic them. You can, you know, do all this stuff by rote.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the mind of Christ. That's just religion.
Right.
That's just, you know,
big
a
difference.
Book learning thing.
Yes, there's
you
a
have
difference.
To get the mind of Christ, and you have to think, you know, when you're stepping out to do something, you know, and I hate to use this because it's been so overused, you know, what would Jesus do?
But it's,
you know,
true. It's mm-hmm. it's all about
exactly.
that, you know?
But the difference is where faith comes in is that, for me, you know, we're you know, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would do this, this, and this. And most of us would say, well, you know, Jesus would, you know, not use that cuss word and not flip people off in traffic, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I say that the what would Jesus do has been so overused, so misused.
Right.
But for me, you know, once I put myself in that mindset of, you know, reading God's word and then recalling that word.
Exactly.
As telling me, you know, how Jesus would have handled this, that's where I step out in faith.
Right.
That, okay, this is what the word says to do, so I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it just the way the word tells me to do it. Or maybe I've prayed about something and, you know, God has spoken to me and said, do this. I'm going to step out in faith that this is the way it's going to be, and I'm going to take whatever comes along and believe that this is the way it's supposed to be. And I've learned that if it's
yeah.
of God, it's always going to end in a good fashion.
Yeah, God's going to get something good out of it. Right.
You know, and to me, that's how I build my faith. Because
right.
I think of it, I do it, I step out, and I just keep going.
And don't you think, I mean, okay, I want to get back to this point. I want you both to comment on this personally and what you see in other people. But when Jesus was walking along there on the road to Emmaus, and before they knew who he was, he explained to them how the scriptures, all the prophecies came about, and how he was just the fulfillment of what had already been foretold, okay? And my point is this. So often, our ignorance of God's will in our lives, our ignorance of what God really wants to do in us, keeps us from being able to step out in faith because we don't understand. Let me give you an example. We don't understand that God wants to heal our bodies, okay? That healing was provided for on the cross, that Jesus took not just our sins, but also our sicknesses in his body on the cross. So when we don't know that, let's say, These disciples didn't know all that stuff that he was explaining to them from Moses all the way through the Old Testament. He was showing them, wait a minute, it says right here, I was going to come and be born of a virgin. It says I was going to, you know, be born in Bethlehem, on and on and on. All the prophecies, Jesus explained that to them and their faith soared. Otherwise, they would not have taken off at night and run 7 miles to Jerusalem if their faith had not gone up, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so I want to say to the two of you, what happens in human nature that we don't take the time or want to take the time to increase our faith like we should? I mean, that's pretty heavy, what I just said, and I know it
yeah.
is.
Pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy. What is it about human nature?
You just get into ruts and, mm-hmm. and you know, you're always too busy to do something.
Yeah.
And unless you make it a priority, you know, when I worked daytime, I have a problem getting that done now because when I worked daytime, I got up an hour early.
Right.
Now, when I get up to go to work, it's afternoon.
It's a little crazy.
it's just all whopper jawed.
Right,
you know?
It is.
And
yeah.
So it's something that I really have to make an effort to do.
And it's not easy to make that effort. Do you understand the question, Deb?
I do understand the question. And I think about the fact that it takes, you know, 21 days to create a new habit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
consecutive days.
Yes.
Right.
And I think about the fact that I don't know what the exact days are now, but it's something like 56, 58, that I am now 58 something, 50 some odd days nicotine free.
Very wow. good. Praise God.
Good for you.
All right.
And I think about yesterday, for some reason, yesterday, both of us, all we wanted was smoke cigarette.
Right.
That's all we wanted. And it wasn't the nicotine craving. It was the habit.
Yeah.
And I just had to say, you know what? I said I was going to quit smoking because I was doing it for Lent.
Yeah.
Now, I did it for 45 days, you know, between the time or however long it was, between
right.
the time of that Lent started and, you know, Resurrection Sunday came.
Right.
If I can do it this long, then I can do it even that much more long.
Yes, right.
So, you know, like Connie said, we don't want to make the time.
Right.
We don't want to take the effort that it takes. And as Connie was saying all that, I just kept coming back to this, you know. I've been a smoker for 40-some-odd years.
Wow.
And
she started smoking when she was two.
If I can stop and go through all the withdrawal and everything that I went, because I quit cold turkey.
Oh, wow. That's
You just smoked one pack a day, right?
Basically, yeah. It depends on how it's stressful. But if you average it out, yeah, it was a pack a day.
After you make your point, I'll tell you what I was thinking.
You know, if I can do that, then I can make time to, you know, spend 15 minutes in the Word. I know that for me, whenever I listen to only Christian radio and don't listen to any secular radio, I know that my day goes so much better. I know that when I get up in the morning and I take, you know, 5 minutes, even if it's in the shower,
right.
to pray, to
yeah,
talk to God,
absolutely.
I know my day goes better.
Me too. Golly,
I
yes.
know if I take the time to open my Bible and read one little passage of Scripture,
right,
that my day goes better. I know that if I do not go to church somewhere at least once a week, that I start to flounder.
You need the fellowship. You need to be fed. All right.
And just like Jesus told them, even though they didn't know it was Jesus at the time, on this road, everything that, you know, the gospel said, you know,
right.
that God's word said and reminded them, they got that fever. They got that hunger.
Yes, they did.
If you do not stay in the word,
yes.
you're not going to have
oh,
that fever.
Huge.
You're not going to have that hunger.
Huge. All right, let's hear Connie's comment to that before station identification.
You know, you're right. I don't remember when I stopped sending out devotionals.
I know.
It just went away,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I need to do that again.
Yeah, amen. Let's do it. All right, you're listening to Living the Good Life. Don't go anywhere. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow, we're so glad you're all joining us, and we always welcome our new guests that are up there in the Arkansas, Mississippi area, and so glad you're a part of us today. Tell a friend about Living the Good Life. We are a ministry that's all about the Word, as you can tell. In fact, our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Word. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find out all about us. We're going to get back to this point, Deb. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. The prayer ministry is huge, is it not, Connie? And you were just talking about the devotionals. You know, you were right. You need to do that again.
Yeah, they just kind of
the daily thing that you used to send out. And life got busy and hectic, and that was a point that Deb was making, and we're going to come back to you in a minute, Deb, mm-hmm. about all that. But the prayer ministry, you know, it's huge. There are people that need somebody or somewhere that they can write, that they can call, that they can get their request out. Because life is full of events and things that happen in our families, our friends, our workplaces, where we need somebody to be praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
How do they access that, Connie?
Just send the prayer request to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And if you want to be a member of the prayer team that does the prayers,
yes,
just the same address, prayers@beaconofhopeministry.com, and say, add me to the praying list.
The prayer team.
The prayers.
The prayers, yes. Deb, you and Alice do a great job. Alice actually heads this up.
Mm-hmm.
But, Deb, there's so many times that with Alice's work schedule that you get the request and you write the prayer. You both do such a great job mm-hmm. of getting those out to all these people on our prayer team, and it's huge now. And they're from so many different places in the world, and it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I also want to give a great thank you to Pastor Jim, because when neither one of us can grab it, Pastor Jim grabs it.
Yes.
And sends mm-hmm. that prayer out. And, you know, you talked about praise reports this morning in church. I have to give a praise report to out on my very close friend, Reverend Jamie Dutton.
Yes, we saw that.
In Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He had a mild stroke in the middle of the week. He is home now.
Good.
He is doing much better, and I got an email from his partner Chuck, and Chuck said that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the prayer that, you know, we sent out, the prayer request that we sent out, and the praying that we've been doing for Brother Jamie that has just helped him along so
praise
much.
God. Praise so. God. Yes. And that's what we want to see. We want to hear when you have answers to prayer. We want to hear from you. You know, we want you to send in that praise report.
And nothing is too big or too small.
Right, exactly.
Nothing is too big or too small, you know,
and we
anything.
And we want people to be a part of this prayer team, Deb. I really encourage people to write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and join the prayer team.
Go, and for people that don't know, you know, they're like, well, I don't want to join a prayer team because I don't want to be responsible. You know, being a member of the prayer team means nothing more than you are agreeing in covenant with us, with God.
Right.
That whenever a prayer request comes out, that you will take a moment of your time to remember this person in your prayers. And we make it real easy for you because we send the prayer request, and below that we send a prayer.
Exactly.
So if you're too busy to, you know, put this into your own personal prayer life, then you can just say this prayer.
Right.
At
just
the page you get
down.
This email. And then the neat thing about all of this is there's so many people out there that say, I don't know how to pray.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know how to pray either. I just sit down and I say what's on my heart.
Right.
And I type it into that email. And if you don't know how to, you think you don't know how to pray, what a more wonderful way to learn how to talk to God.
Exactly.
And how to go to God in prayer than to become a member of our prayer team and participate in this easy thing that we do.
Amen. Amen.
And you don't have to get on your knees. You can be in your car. You know,
that's right. Any place, you know.
Any place.
Absolutely. We really encourage that. And also, we want to mention this right now before we go to this next song. There are some of you out there that have businesses that you would like to advertise. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can go to the part of the website where it shows what advertising rates would cost to have a commercial on Living the Good Life. And so we welcome you to do that. And if you're interested in that, write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll see that we get a commercial cut for you and so forth. Connie, I ask you to put this song on. Tell us about it.
This is a little bit different. The one we have been using was tied with another song.
Right, yes.
But this one I got today just from the Gaither Vocal Band.
Yeah.
And it really sounds good.
He touched me. One of the greatest songs of all time, gospel songs.
Oh,
okay. That just does something for you, doesn't it? He touched me. And you know, dear listener, God is in the business of touching us and making us whole. And that is what this broadcast is all about. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're glad you've joined us today. Deb, stay on the line with us. And Connie, you know, back to this concept, where what we were talking about a little earlier, right before we went to station identification, we were talking about how we get lulled into, I think, a lazy time in our lives so often, where it's not that we're being lazy, like not going to work, because we all manage to do that, because we know if we don't go to work, we're not going to have a paycheck, and then we're not going to have groceries, and then we're going to be starving, and we're going to lose our house and lose our car and all that stuff. We manage to, most people, I'll say, manage to get that right and keep going to work. But a lot of people get lulled, and I believe by the devil, into a place of kind of laziness spiritually.
Or just being comfortable.
Yeah. Thinking you don't have to grow, you don't have to expand.
You're happy where you're at.
Deb, is that kind of what you were talking about before the break?
Exactly.
You know, how easy it is to forget that he touches me, and he touches me all the time. And he makes me whole, you know. We aren't perfect. We don't have it all together. We don't have all of our issues taken care of. We need God to continue to touch us.
And we don't know how many times that we miss out on bad things.
Right.
That he's protected us from.
Right. Because, you know, and so often we just get into that place of comfort. Deb, do you want to comment on that? And I want you both to go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Deb, comment on that, will you?
Well, Connie, you know, or when you said, you know, you never know how many times he's protected us from danger. I had to think about that time that we were coming back from Tampa. We had come to Tampa for a visit, and we were coming back
we're
driving into Houston, and it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because we made the drive in one day. And we were on a dark, dark, dark country road.
Last September.
And, yeah, it was. It was coming back from Labor Day. And before we left Florida, Pastor, we stood in your garage.
Yes, we did.
And we prayed that God would protect us on this trip. And we do this all the time.
Right.
And we take for granted. You know, because I'll admit it, there's a lot of times I will pray before I hit the road.
Right.
For God to protect me and keep me safe. But when I get to my destination, I forget to thank God for that. Well, I guarantee you I did not forget to thank God that night, because on that lonely country road at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I rounded a corner, and right as I rounded the corner, my headlights caught about a 1,000-pound bull. Walking on the side of the road, heading straight for my car.
Oh, my gosh.
And we joke now and say that the angels that God camped around our vehicle, that angel got squished. Because I'm not lying to you, that bull came about maybe 6 inches from the side view mirror on my car.
So you're saying that God protected you.
Oh, yes. Boy.
And you're saying that not only did God protect you, but you had the faith to pray and ask for that protection before you got in the car, right?
Exactly.
And you're saying that God cares about these kinds of things
Absolutely.
In our lives. And our faith is increased when we get in the Word. And you said earlier, Deb, that you can't go like any time at all without needing a recharge on your battery or needing an oil change, right?
Oh, no.
And I've got
to have something on a daily basis.
But people do it, Deb, and they get their faith level gets so low. It's like their oil in their engine. And the check engine light comes on, and nothing happens. People see the check engine light, and they think, that's all right, I'll just keep driving. I'll just keep driving on it. It'll go away sooner or later. When the engine's trying to say, wait a minute, we got a problem here, you know?
We don't have a problem at all in life in all the little addictions that we have in our life. You know, our food addictions, our soap opera addictions, our Coca-Cola addictions, you know, or worse than that,
M&Ms.
You know, the illegal drugs and
M&Ms.
That kind of thing.
You're meddling here. She said M&Ms, Deb. She's meddling now. She's getting personal.
M&Ms?
She's
we know what your addiction is to M&Ms.
Yeah. It's not good.
But why can't we make God's word our addiction? Why can't we make Jesus our addiction?
Why can't we?
Why can't we need God so much that we see that we really are powerless without a recharge in our spiritual batteries?
And you know, the 12-step groups have it.
Yes, they do.
Because the very first step in any 12-step group is to admit you are powerless.
Good point.
And that you need a higher power to control your life.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you can't control it yourself.
Right. All right, with that said, let's go to Acts 1:14. After Jesus went up into heaven, and they saw him go up, and he had been there walking among them 40 days. That's a long time, coming in and out of their rooms, you know, and all of that, slipping in and checking on them. In Acts 1:14, it says they agreed they were in this for good. For good in the Message Bible. In other words, they were committed, okay? And it said they were completely together in prayer, the women included, also Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers. I mean, it wasn't just the disciples. It was that whole entourage of women that followed him and provided for him and cooked for him. And it was Jesus' own family, Mary, his mother, and his brothers. And it says they were all together, and if you take notes, write this down. They were committed to go the distance. And I'm telling you right now, I'm committed to go the distance. Connie, Deb, I know you guys are committed to go the distance. You're not in this for just a quick little, you know, evangelical thrill, you know, or a little, look what God did, you know. It is so much more than that. You're committed to go the distance, aren't you? You know, this is serious, our spiritual lives.
Because I've run the race without him.
Yeah, oh, have you? All right. Yeah. Okay. Deb, do you want to comment on that? Are you committed to go the distance, girl?
I'm committed to go the distance, and I'm like Connie. I have run that race without him. And you know what? It's a lot easier to run it when you got him with you.
You know, you mentioned a few minutes ago, Deb, about getting off of cigarette smoking, nicotine. I'm so proud of one of our people. I'm not going to mention her name. Well, two of them. This morning after church, we're talking no alcohol for 2 weeks, and that is huge.
Praise God.
Okay.
And
then we've got one guy that's no alcohol for 5 months. And we're not saying that alcohol is wrong in itself, but if it's abused and if it's a daily thing and you got to have it, you know, and so forth.
And they all admitted that they were addicted to it.
They were addicted to it. And so that's where it becomes something that's got to be dealt with, you know, in our lives. And, you know, how do we get that kind of power and strength to deal with these addictions, to deal with the things in our lives that drag us down? It is the power of prayer. And Acts 1:14, all the emotions that the disciples probably had, all the confusion, they got in there in that room, the upper room, and they started praying. And they started believing. And they did what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Don't leave town. Don't leave Dodge here. He said in Acts 1:8, but here's what's going to happen. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the world. Jesus' parting words to them before he was caught up into heaven was, wait here, don't go anywhere, get busy and pray, and believe for the Holy Spirit to hit you and descend on you, which we're going to talk more about in another show. But let's look at, there were about 120 of them in that room, it says in the next verse. And then they began to go over the thing that had happened with Judas and how, you know, Judas betrayed Jesus. And it's, and they even said here, now they're getting the picture. Jesus is saying to them when he was here, remember, it's all already been foretold. It's already been prophesied. You just got to realize that what's happening is happening for a reason. And in the rest of Acts chapter 1, we see that they're talking about the fact that there was going to be a betrayer. There was going to be a Judas. And there was going to be a field that was bought with the money that he threw back at the high priest, and he would go there and hang himself and spill out his guts. It was part of prophecy, okay? And then the end of Acts 1 talks about how they replaced Judas with a man named Matthias. Very interesting. Some commentators say they did this. They drew lots, and they did all this. You never hear about Matthias after that, which is kind of interesting. But we're going over to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to Acts chapter 3, verse 1, where Peter and John now, this is a few days after Jesus has gone up into heaven. Peter and John are going into the temple at the hour of prayer, which, by the way, is 3 o'clock, which is the same time that Jesus died on the cross. That was the time the Passover lamb was shed, was killed, and the blood was put on the doorposts. Now, we see in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John are going up to the temple and pray. Now, there's not a coincidence, but there is something that happens here in Acts 3 that changes everybody's life. It changes Peter and John because Peter and John ended up in jail for what is about to happen here. Now, I say to you that when we get really bold about praying for people, when we get really bold about what we believe, sometimes things happen to us that are rather interesting. And we have Peter and John here, and they go up to the certain gate to get into the temple. And the gate they chose was the gate Beautiful, which I think is cool. And there was a beggar there that was sitting there. And every day, some family member or someone brought this beggar to that gate and set that beggar down. And it says that they looked, this beggar looks up at Peter and John, and it says they expect, he expected something, okay? And what he wanted was he wanted a physical handout. He wanted money to be given to him. That's what he expected, okay? By the way, one of the ingredients of faith is expectation, believing that God can and expect him to move. Now, this guy expected a handout. He got a handout, but he got quite a different handout, didn't he, Connie?
Mm-hmm. Remember, one of our slogans is faith is acting like God told us the truth.
Exactly. And here it is. Mm-hmm. And here's this beggar sitting there expecting something. You know, expected a handout. He thought he was going to get money. And Peter looks at him.
He
got a handout, all right. He got a hand up.
Hand up.
And Peter says, I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, was it a brand new thing for Peter to be using the name of Jesus? No. When Jesus gave instructions and sent the disciples out during the 3 years that they went out and ministered, he said, heal the sick in my name. So what they were used to using the name of Jesus. And as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to learn the power in the name of Jesus. Some of you out there right now are hurting very much in your life. There is a name above every name. There is a name that is stronger than the name cancer. There is a name that is stronger than depression. There is a name that is stronger than laziness. There is a name that is stronger than I don't really care about growing spiritually. There is a name that is stronger than anything that you can imagine, sickness in your body, migraine headaches, anything. That name is the name of Jesus. Now, when Peter and John got bold like this, and Peter said, here's what I have for you. In the name of Jesus, Connie and Deb, I want you to say it with me. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it says he pulled him up by the hand, and immediately his ankles were strengthened. Now, he had been lame for over 40 years, guys. This is not something that just happened the week before and he had a sprained ankle, like somebody we know. It was not that. This was not a sprained ankle. This was a crippled man. And, oh, I love this. At the end of verse 7, Connie, can you read 6 through 8? Oh, actually, read 6 through 10 in the Message. Would you do that, Message Bible?
Sure.
It starts with, Peter said.
Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful, and rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing.
The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up and they were going, what has happened here? Now, this first miracle that we see in the book of Acts, where Peter and John are out here using this name of Jesus, this event lands them in jail, which we'll talk about another time. You know, when we get bold, Deb and Connie, I want to talk to you about this boldness. But let's listen to Justin Ryan's song here, I'm Not the Enemy. And then Deb and Connie, get ready to talk. And if y'all are still with us, we hope you are. You still have time to call a friend and have them tune in, or you can send us an email if you'd like to do that. Listen to this song.
I am not the challenge. I am not the war. Children, please lay down your armor. You don't need it anymore. You've been building your defenses since you were just a kid. But they're not gonna serve you now the way that they once did. 'Cause I'm not the enemy, my child, you don't understand, so you keep fighting me. I'm not the enemy, I am the one who loves you like you've never been. Drawn a line between your heart and mine that I can't cross. But I'm still on your side, even when you think I'm not. My child, I would show you if you just let down your guard long enough to see. It doesn't have to be this hard. 'Cause I'm not the enemy, you just don't understand, so you keep fighting me. I'm not the enemy, I am the one who loves you like you've never been loved.
Justin Ryan. We had him in concert last summer. Connie, what does that song say to you?
Well, I think we spend so much time fighting, resisting, doing what God wants us to do.
Right.
But if we just let go and let him,
yes,
and see how much he loves us and what he really wants to do for us.
Right.
That, you know, we can't even begin to imagine how good it would be.
Exactly. And that's Jesus talking in that song, that he's not the enemy. He's just trying to help us, but we got to get it with the program. You know, this beggar could have said, wait a minute. I just was wanting money. You know, I don't want to be healed, for heaven's sake.
Right.
But you know what? He chose at that moment. It was instantaneous. He allowed himself to be, you know, raised up in the air, and he stood on his feet. And then he says, and Deb, I want your comments on this in verse 8, that he goes into the temple and he walks back and forth and he dances and he praises God. Now, he could have been one of those that was not appreciative of his miracle and just run away and said, oh, wow, this was crazy. I don't know what happened, but they didn't give me any money. I wanted money. But instead, he realized this was the power of God. So he goes into the temple, and he walks, and he runs, and he dances, and people are going, oh, my gosh, isn't that that same guy that sat for all those years at the gate, that beggar? Isn't that the beggar, you know? And instead, he gives glory and honor where it's due. Deb, I want your comment.
Well, you know, reading this made me think of a passage that I read night before last in 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
It was 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And in the Message Bible, it says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. It's obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chooses the nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies.
Right.
That's what this guy was. He was a nobody.
Yes, he was.
You know,
he was.
And
nothing.
He was a nobody that begged, and people just overlooked him, and they kicked dust on him and whatever.
Right.
You know, And Peter and John stopped and gave what they had.
Amen.
God's word, get up and walk.
Exactly.
You know? And, I mean, they didn't, I don't know that they did or didn't say this. It doesn't say this in the word, so I have to believe that they didn't go, well, you know what, quit feeling sorry for yourself. You know,
yeah,
get up and, you know, quit being a bum, quit begging. You know, and the people in the temple were like, whoa, look what they did for him.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it just made me think of that passage I read in Corinthians because, and you talk about being bold, how much more bolder could God be than to pick the nobodies of this world?
Right.
You know, to go out and spread his word. I mean, look at the disciples and who they were made up of.
Right. Just average, ordinary people.
Are people like the tax collectors?
Yes.
You know? So, you talk about being bold. I think that statement right there shows how bold God is.
Right.
And how bold was this man to get up and go in front of everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
To spit on him.
Yes.
And say, hey, look at me, look at me, look what God did for me.
Right. And he didn't just take it at sitting down, you know. He didn't just take his miracle quietly and go home, you know. He went in and made a big ruckus about it. I mean, he really did. And, you know, in a way, that's what we do at Beacon of Hope. I mean, we're making a big ruckus.
We do make a big ruckus.
Yeah, in a way. We make a big ruckus about what God is doing in our lives.
That's right.
That God loves us the way he created us, that he accepts us and he forgives us and that he has a new life for us. And we're just bold enough to believe after 3 years on the air that there are people out there listening that want to hear the word of God that is coming from this show every week. And we're just bold enough to speak it out and believe that God is getting a work done. And last week, guys, I got to tell you that after the show, it was about 8 o'clock in the evening, and after a day of me preaching and you know going out to lunch and being silly,
it was
physically wow, it was a hard day. And then coming in and do the radio show, about 8 o'clock, I'm watching some game on TV, and I am half asleep, and the phone rings, and somebody called that had heard the show and wanted to talk about where those scriptures were that I was talking about. Had a pen and a paper in his hand, and he said, tell me where that was. I want to talk to you about the things you said. And you talk about a just encouragement to me that there are people listening, that there are people that want to hear. Yep. And, you know, Peter and John were just going about their work, guys. They were just going in to pray at 3 o'clock like they normally did. And God put an opportunity right there in front of them. Like God has put this opportunity for Beacon of Hope on the air every Sunday. Okay, I'm going to take a drink now, a drink of water. Deb, you want to comment on that, or Connie, on all of that?
Well, you know, I think it's awesome that you did get some confirmation.
Yes.
That the word that you are putting out across the airwaves is being heard by someone.
Amen.
And that someone was bold enough to pick up the phone and call and say, okay, tell me this again?
Yes. Yes.
You know? You talk about Beacon of Hope is a perfect poster child for dynamite comes in small packages.
That's true, isn't it?
I mean, we may be small, but we're mighty.
We are mighty.
Right.
We are mighty. And we're scattered all around the world, too, which is cool. So if we all got in the same place at the same time, it'd be wow. But you know, as you said that, Deb, sometimes our services are small people. I'm not small people. I mean, small in numbers. But great in strength and faith. And that is what it's all about. God takes us right where we are. We may be young in faith. We may feel like we don't know where any of these scriptures are. And I praise God that this guy called and said, mm-hmm. tell me what those scriptures were. I want to study those, you know?
Absolutely.
Both of you here, let's get back to this point where the disciples, the night that Jesus, they were sitting there after taking that 7-mile walk, they're sitting there, they're breaking bread, and suddenly they realize it's Jesus, and then he's gone, you know, he just disappears, you know, and they're sitting there, and they said in Luke 24, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't we feel God as we were walking along there? And I want to get back to that point, Deb and Connie, because mm-hmm. when you feel God, you know it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Connie, you're up, and then Deb.
Well, and this kind of leads into our next song, which is called Defining Moment.
Yes.
Because that's when you feel it, that's when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're on the right track.
Exactly.
And you know, it's just it's one more encourager in your walk.
Yes.
To make it happen.
And God does that. And doesn't it feel that way? Your heart just burns. You know, I often say, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say when I preach. And it's not that I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear what God's going to say. And it does burn within me, you know?
Well, and the song says when you believe that he's all you need.
Right.
And you finally realize that that's really all you need.
Right.
Because in life, you know, we're all raised to do better than our parents.
Right.
You know, success-wise.
Make more money, do whatever.
Supposedly make more money and, you know, do all these things. But, you know, and it's unfortunate that it takes a while for us to understand that being successful does not necessarily mean a bank account.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean, you know, having cars and houses and everything, and there's more to life than just those things. There's
yes.
so much more in the value of life and love and
amen
and people.
Amen. Good point, Deb. You have a response to all that? Your heart burning within you?
Well, you know, I'm having a wonderful opportunity. My best friend rededicated her life to Christ on Easter Sunday morning.
Praise God.
Praise God. She was raised as a Catholic.
Right.
And so her belief system is a little, her understanding and belief is a little different than mine.
Right.
And so she's questioning. But one of the things, after church Sunday, last Sunday, she came over to lunch at the house and we were talking. And I had jokingly said to her when I took her to church with me at her request for the first time that I would sit next to her so that the Holy Ghost wouldn't get her. And so at lunch Sunday, she said something about, you know, well, you know, yeah, I went down and did this, but I'm not really sure, was I supposed to feel something?
Right.
And it's different for everybody. You
right,
talk
it
about,
is.
You know, when you feel God, you know it.
Right.
And it's different for everybody. But knowing her the way I know her, I looked at her and I said, did you cry? And she said, yeah. I said, then that's what you
yeah,
felt.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an awesome thing to watch.
Right.
I've never had somebody that close to me watch, been able to go through this with somebody.
Yes.
And it's an awesome feeling.
It is.
It's an awesome feeling.
Oh, I know. I know. You know, we had some people walk into church this morning that live in the hotel where we're currently meeting for church right now temporarily. And they walked in, and I could not tell. I'd never met them before. Couldn't tell much about them through the service. But at the end, the wife walked up. It was a couple. And she walked up for prayer. And as she began to say what the need was, she broke. And she just said, I need people to pray for me for this situation, you know. And that's what you're talking about, Deb, where you feel it emotionally, where you know that you know, you're stepping out in faith and you're believing that God can hear and answer your prayer. And when she took my hands and we had several people gather around her, we'd never met this person before. We may never see her again. I don't know. But she was there today for a reason. She was there at that defining moment, you know, in her life. And she reached out and believed God for the miracle that she needed in her life. And Deb, that's what we're talking about here. And we are called to be the ones, and so many of us around the globe are called to be ones that speak that there is an answer in the name of Jesus, that there is a miracle that people can get, that there is, that there are answers to prayer, and that God's not a respecter of persons. You can be a woman and preach. You can, can be green and have purple stripes and preach the word and talk to people. It doesn't matter. God loves us and accepts us and uses us no matter what we think are our inabilities. This beggar goes running into the temple and starts dancing and praising God. And everybody noticed, to the point that it got Peter and Chuck thrown in jail. Deb, Connie, comment. Got to get a drink here.
Of water.
I'm the healed one of a cough, so that's why I'm not, you know, I'm having to take water
drink
breaks.
But
water. Go ahead. Somebody, comment.
Well, I think, you know, Peter and John aren't the only ones that ever got in trouble for preaching.
Yes.
And, you know, all around the world, missionaries have died in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So, I mean, they were just probably some of the first ones.
Right.
They set the tone for for everybody else.
And there are times we feel that we're a martyr in that maybe somebody doesn't treat us the way we want them to treat us because they know we're just a little weird or we're a little fanatic or, you know, a little out there spiritually. Deb, what we're saying here is that we've got to, people out there have got to regain this such an intense love for God that when God says, I want you to go and pray for this person, you know, or I want you, you wake up in the middle of the night and you see somebody's face and you know God's calling you to pray, that we take it seriously and we do this. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And I know that when I do that for someone, I know that it comes back around 360 and it impacts me on the other side.
How does it do that? What do you mean? Give us an example.
Well, you know, I pray for the lost ones and the people that don't know Christ.
Right.
I pray for God to show me where he wants me to go.
Right.
And what path he wants me on, and I just keep praying about it and praying about it and praying about it, and then lo and behold, you know, I get this phone call from my best friend.
Right.
You know, I need you to take me to church.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how about that?
I need you to do this for me, and, you know, I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. I'm doing this.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm praying now, okay, God, show me what I'm supposed to do now.
Exactly. It's a moment-by-moment thing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the interesting thing about all of this is that, yes, I attend a church or several different churches here in Houston, but I'm not a member of any of them because I'm a member of Beacon and Hope.
Right.
You know, and so I really, my home church is in Florida, but I'm here in Houston.
Right.
And so what I say about it coming 360, I'm talking to God. I'm asking God to show me where he wants me to go and to give me this word.
Right.
And then, you know, my best friend comes and does this for me, and then she goes down, you know, asks me to help her. So I take her to church, and she goes down for prayer, and she goes down to recommit, and I'm standing behind her, and I'm praying, you know, with the pastors of this church. I'm praying with them for her. And I go back, and I go back to sit down, and I'm like, God says, okay, you're not done yet. You need to go back down there because you need prayer.
Cool.
And I didn't know for what. So I was like, okay, fine. So I go back down, and where I'm saying it hits me 360 is these pastors know me, but they don't know what's going on in my life right now because I have not sat down and talked to them.
You're right.
They know I'm there every Sunday. They know I worship. They know I believe. The prayer that they prayed over me came straight from the mouth of God.
Okay.
Because what they prayed over me is exactly what I've been asking for from God. And they gave it back to me where God is saying, I heard your prayer, and this is what I want you to do.
Praise God. There you go, right there. And you said, yes, sir.
You do this, right, and it's going to come back to haunt you. But you talk about, you know, Peter and John being arrested. Isn't it interesting that they arrested Peter and John and threw Peter and John in jail?
Right.
Did it stop? No.
No.
God's word did not stop.
It didn't stop. No.
More people picked it up and took it on because everybody that was at this service that saw this man walk,
right,
they're going to talk about it.
Woo! They're going to talk about it. Connie, do you have a comment to that before we go to Life's Defining Moment?
No. All I was going to say is that if we make ourselves a willing vessel,
yes,
and he uses us, and we keep, you know, keep being willing, that the, you know, the rewards just keep coming.
They just keep coming.
And it may just be just knowing that you were able to affect somebody's life.
Amen.
You know, for the positive.
Exactly.
And or it may be huge.
It may be huge.
We
don't
know.
It's Life's Defining Moment. Let's go to this song. Don't go anywhere, Deb.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
God, when you believe he's all you need, that's your defining moment. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. Right there. Yep. That's it.
That's it.
And so often we have to go through all kinds of struggles to get to that point where we realize that we need him so much. If you're out there today and you're not sure that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus, you're not sure about your salvation, I want you to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask Connie to repeat it after me. Okay. Pastor Deb, get ready in a few minutes. I want some final thoughts here. But Connie, I want you to repeat this because there might be one person out there that needs to nail down their salvation today because they're not sure that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, right now we come to you in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus.
And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
For anything and everything.
For anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
That I've ever said or done that's not pleasing to you.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
To live on the inside of me.
to live on the inside of me.
To make me brand new.
To make me brand new.
To be your child.
To be your child.
And you my father.
And you my father.
I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Wow.
Cool.
And if you prayed that prayer, we want to hear from you.
And the angels are singing.
They are. Just write me a note at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And before we get the final thoughts of Deb and Connie, I want to say that there are people that we're beginning to hear from that want to be partners to this radio ministry. You can go to another church and still be a partner on the radio, just mm-hmm. like there are people that are... They go to a certain local church, but they're a partner with Joel Osteen or some other ministry. We really encourage you to do that right now. You can send me an email to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Tell me that you want to be considered a partner. You can go onto our website to PayPal and give tithes and offerings. We have people that are doing that now. We encourage you. The word says to lay up treasure for yourself in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. In other words, you know, the money here in your bank isn't going to do anything for you. Can't take it with you. But God's word says to plant, sow seed into God's soil. And this is good soil on living the good life. We're teaching the word of God. And so we encourage you, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, become a partner with us, give financially, give on a regular basis, be committed, and watch how God blesses you financially. Wow. Deb, do you have some final thoughts for us? Have you had a good time?
I always have a good time on the radio
yes,
with you.
Yes, you do. You do. You do. And you're going to be on again next week. Pastor Jim is going to host, and I'm going to be up in Georgia with Carol Maxine. I'm going to be speaking at a church up there. And I'm excited about that trip. Pastor David, that is one of our good friends, a pastor in Pensacola. I'm actually picking him up on the interstate, Connie, on Interstate 75 up there around Georgia someplace. And he's going to be, I guess, with his thumb out.
I
don't know.
Say, how's he going to get to I-10?
A friend of his from his church, one of his parishioners, is going to take him over there. And we're going to meet for lunch, and then I'm going to take David on with me, and we're going to have a glorious weekend up there ministering and just having a great time with our good friends. Mm-hmm. Carol, who was on the show last week, Maxine, who is our webmaster, and a lot of good friends that we have up in the Georgia area that are friends to Beacon of Hope. Mm-hmm. So, Deb, you're going to be on again next week, and I think, Connie, you are too, with call-in maybe with Pastor Jim.
Yeah, I work, but I'll...
And Pastor Jim will be here in the studio by himself. He'll be here, so,
Holding down the fort,
but that's all right. And we encourage you to continue to support the ministry. Deb, you have some final thoughts here on all that we've talked about.
I think the words of one of the songs are just very appropriate here. And, you know, I'm not the challenge. I'm not the war. You know, lay down your armor. You don't need it anymore. And that's true.
Right. Yes.
You know, God loves you. Jesus loves you unlike anyone has ever loved you before.
Amen.
And once you lay down that armor that you've been building up to protect yourself,
yes,
and turn it all over to him, your life will change.
Oh, yes, it will change. It'll be drastic, won't it? And then it'll be one of those things like those disciples say, boy, didn't our heart burn within us when we were talking to Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. Connie, give us some thoughts here.
Well, I think it's all about having the faith and belief that you can do things through Christ.
Amen.
And if you have a little bit of faith, then just dig in and watch your faith grow.
Exactly. Get in the Word.
Get in the Word and, you know, get in a Word-based church.
Yes.
Where you're going to hear a regular message that's from, you know, it's not about what you're doing wrong. It's about how to live life.
Exactly.
According to what the Bible says.
How to increase your faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Pastor Deb, say something real quick while I sneeze, okay?
God bless you.
That was a good word.
I'm the healed one.
It's
Did you guys
crazy
hear that?
Again. Oh boy.
I'm the healed one right now.
Yes. Yes.
Pastor.
There's a lot of healed ones walking around. running around praising God.
Absolutely. You know, this whole conversation that we've been having today is all about building our faith. It really is. And faith, it says in Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't increase your faith if you don't expose yourself to the Word of God.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you finished that sentence. That didn't sound right.
Well, I exposed, I'm saying here, I exposed myself to some cold germs, evidently.
Oh,
but I am the healed one, okay? But I wouldn't even have had this little battle that I'm having right this moment had I not been in some place, I guess, where these things were flying around.
Germs were. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to expose ourselves to the Word of God. You got to allow yourself to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to listen. Put yourself in a position
in
to get it, you know, to get your healing, get your scripture. Deb, comment on that, will you?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, you need to expose yourself to the Word of God. And if you don't have a Bible, there's very few people now that don't have access to the Internet. There's a really nice website called www.biblegateway.com.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And if it will give you any version of the Bible that you want to look at. And if you don't have your own Bible, go to that website and read God's Word on that website.
And tell them, the translation we teach out of here and why. Would you do that?
We generally teach out of the Message Bible. It's a new translation that's been out the last 5 years or so. It's common man talk. You know, if you get a good old
and
King
woman
James
talk
version,
too.
It's the these and thous, and you know, that good old English talk.
Right, exactly.
Not that down-home
King
Southern
James.
Country stuff I'm used to.
Right.
And it's plain language for the plain man. It's a common language for the common man, and it's just awesome because it just plain and simple and tells you how it is.
Exactly. Deb, one more time before we let you go, tell them how they can send in prayer requests one more time, please.
Prayer requests, go to prayers, PRAYERS, at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to join our prayer team, send an email to that as well, and we will put your email address on our team list. No prayer is too big. No request is too big or too small. Just send it out, and we'll take care of it.
Amen. Pastor Deb, it's been great having you with us today, and our audience will look forward to hearing from you and Connie and Pastor
Woo-hoo.
Jim next week.
Yeah.
So thanks, Deb. And Connie, give us some final thoughts here before we wrap this up.
Well, I think I've said this before other times I've been on, but, you know, if you think that you're not good enough for God, if you think that you've done things that he would never forgive, if you think that you're not worthy, whatever you might be feeling, anything that you do right now is not making it better. So why not give it a chance?
Give it a chance.
Just take a chance and try it. You
give
might
God
like
a
it.
Chance. Amen. Mm-hmm. Connie,
give
you're
God
always a blessing. Thank you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week. And then 2 weeks from today is our big three-year anniversary party
right.
here in the studio. We're even going to let Bill have some cake that day.
Anybody wants to come
Balloons.
And have cake, come and watch us perform.
Yeah, that'll be great. 2 weeks from today, third-year anniversary. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer, Deb Reasonover. We are so glad that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministry, a global ministry. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about us. I've got a couple books that we published a couple years ago. You can go there and get those books from our website. We won't even charge you shipping or handling. And Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It.
Mm-hmm.
Got the third one going right now, and it's in the process, Strength for the Fight. So, it's not far to Jesus, Connie. It's not far. And all those listening today know that it's just a matter of talking to him, running to him. He is there for you. It's not far to Jesus. Thanks for joining us. See you next week on Living the Good Life.
It's not far.